Yo, yo, what's going on, big dogs? Welcome into another episode of Adams Plus One. This episode features Tom Siren. Tom has over 32 years of experience as a sheet metal worker, most of those years in the commercial HVAC industry. During this episode, Tom gives insight into his career in the trades, the pros and cons of working as a union worker, and he also gives great resources and advice for any young people that are looking to get into the trades. As always, if you enjoyed this episode, please give it a share. Let's dive in.
We got a weird family, we do, man.
Or like growing up, I always called Aunt Carrie, Aunt Carrie.
Yeah.
And then I find out she's not related to me, dude. You guys lied to me all this time, right? She's still my aunt, though.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so why don't you just kind of lay out, like, how long have you worked in the trades? And how did you get into the trades? And then how long have you worked in the trades? However you want to attack that.
Sure. So, yeah, I've been in the trades for just a little over 32 years now. I've been a union sheet metal worker the whole time. I got in through my dad. My dad was a union sheet metal worker. He was a local 73 sheet metal worker. I'm a local 265. The difference is local 73 is Cook County and Lake County. 265 is the collar counties around those two counties. So,
you know what, Tommy? Do me a favor.
Sure.
I find one other thing, because someone out there is like me. Is going to say trades. I think I know what the trades are. How would you define what the trades are? Even though there's obviously a lot of them. But like, if someone came to you and said, what do you mean you work in the trades? What
does
that mean?
Right. So the trades are just slang for the building construction trades. So, you know, what you would, probably the most familiar one would probably be a carpenter, electrician. The sheet metal guys would do the duct work for the air conditioning and the heating in the house. And, you know, plumbers and, you know, stuff like that. So that we're all considered trades. We're construction building trades.
Yeah.
You know, so, and it just something I got into because of my dad. When I graduated high school, I didn't know exactly what I was going to do. You know, I tried working for my uncle, and he did a mobile office trailers. And we went and set mobile office trailers all over the Midwest. And I just figured crawling underneath trailers wasn't for me.
Don't blame you.
I talked to my dad. My dad said, here, you can start driving the truck at my company. And so I did. I started driving the truck. You know, a few weeks later, you know, talked to the union. He actually talked to the union, said, you got to go talk to so-and-so. Started my apprenticeship, started rolling with that, and then never looked back. At first, I was like, I don't think I want to do this. I want to just kind of, it's just something to try. I don't think I want to be a sheet metal worker the rest of my life. I want to do something else. I didn't know what, but... But once I got in and started making the money and learning, I'm like, this isn't too bad. I'm starting to, you know, excel in it, I guess, you know. So I'm starting to pick it up and it's coming easier. And, I didn't mind getting up early, because that's a big thing with the trades is you got to be up early. Yeah. Usually we start at 6 a.m. Yeah.
So you're waking up at 4:45, yes. 5 o'clock, depending on where the site too, right? That
right. So depending where, for instance, sometimes I can work up. All the way towards, at the time I'm in Villa Park, Illinois, which is centrally located, western suburb of Chicago. I could work up in Wisconsin. I could work all the way to the Indiana border. So, yeah, it could be an hour to an hour and 20 minutes away.
I guess I think about this because I've worked in public accounting and we've been, you have a job 3 hours away. We'll just put you up in a hotel.
Right.
Would you ever be so far away where you guys got put up for the week?
Well, we definitely do it in the trades. You can work out of town and they will pay for your lodging and they'll give you a per diem per day. Fortunately, I've never had to work out of town. The city of Chicago and the surrounding areas is there's just always something going on. And if you're a can-do person and you're a person that, like my attitude was I had to work, I had four kids and I didn't really care what I had to do. I just had to work.
For sure.
So with that attitude, I always stayed busy. And Chicago, even during the toughest times, during the recession and stuff, I was able to continue to work. And I was fortunate that way because I knew a lot of my friends that weren't working, but it's just situation I was in was happened to be the right situation. And we made it through all the hard times. But the city of Chicago is just a mecca for tradesmen, and there's always something going on. There's a lot of infrastructure. There's a lot of building. There's a lot of corporations moving to this area. Wow. So there's always construction. So my dad used to say, if you can't make it in the city of Chicago, you probably can't make it anywhere. And it's probably true. Right. So I
interrupted you earlier and then asked a different question. I veered you off. So how long have you worked in the trades? How long have you been doing sheet metal?
So just over 32 years.
Wow. Which, by the way, I think that equates to a PhD. We were joking about this earlier. I think you have a PhD in sheet metal.
I go, I'm a SME subject matter expert in sheet metal, right?
Definitely.
And really and truly, you know, I know my little niche in sheet metal, but there's so much to it. There's so many facets to the trade. It's not just like, hey, I do heating and air conditioning, or I do duct work. I mean, there's so many different facets. And my expertise is in kind of one area, and there's so much more that I could do, but I'm not an expert in it.
What area is that?
You know, we just do like, we do a lot of, our majority of our hours come from commercial HVAC. That's where a lot of our
bigger clients too, right?
Yeah. Right. Bigger jobs. A lot of hours come from that as a union. That's kind of what we do a lot of, but above and beyond that, we have architectural sheet metal, right? Which is like, any type of decorative metal or watershed metal on a commercial building. So, you know, if you pull up to it's like a storefront. Sometimes you'll see like a real decorative, it's actually a metal face, and it's, they call it ACM panels. It looks really nice. That's work we do. Flashing and stuff that you don't even realize is on the building that we do for the, you know, when the roof, to finish a roof off, there's flashing, you know, for watershed and stuff like that. A church steeple would be all copper. That's something we would do.
Yeah.
So there's architectural, there's welding. We do all kinds of different welding. We're not really big, heavy welding trade. We're not help welding like real thick stuff. It's a more thinner, lighter gauge stuff. But we do a lot of MIG, a lot of TIG, some arc, which is like stick welding. And now we're getting in and we're training laser welding, which is a new technology.
How's that going?
That's pretty good. I haven't done it, but I've seen it, and it's pretty neat.
Yeah,
I imagine. It's very high tech, and it's very fast, and it's probably going to change. You know, right now the price is real high for the equipment, so once that price comes down, I think it's going to change a lot of welding techniques because it's so fast.
Efficient and accurate, sure,
yeah,
I'm sure, right?
Yeah, it's very accurate. Very. It's amazing. If you, you know, not to, you know, say I'm on TikTok all the time, but if you look at TikTok and you just punch in laser welding and see the technology and how fast it is, you're like, it's pretty amazing.
I'll have to do that because that's where I would go. Right? Yeah. Like Google, YouTube, or TikTok.
Yeah, right. I mean, hey. TikTok's easier. You get a little, you know, a little quick little synopsis of it. And,
definitely.
You know.
Definitely. Now, 32 years sheet metal. Let me ask you this question because someone could be listening thinking, well, what did your career look like from the first 10 versus the past 10? Were you more hands-on early on? I'd imagine. Now you're at year 32. Are you still really hands-on? Or are you managing the project? Maybe you just give an outline of from year one to now quickly, like where you're at in the project.
So, yeah. So, started out, you know, as a truck driver, apprentice, learning, a journeyman, just being a guy part of the crew, to foreman, you know, where I'm actually running the projects, to company owner, where I actually owned a company for 5 years. A signatory HVAC company with Local 265 and the Pipefitters Local 597. I was signatory with both. Did a lot of stuff, a lot of cool work, but found out that business really wasn't for me. I couldn't deal with the lack of money flowing in on a consistent basis.
Right.
So I just said, let someone else do it. I'll go to work for someone. So I ended up going back to work for a company. They were out of Homer Glen. I went there, worked there 15 years, and ran all kinds of cool different type of projects. I did, you know, food production. I did refineries. I did power plant work. I did, you know, medical buildings, specialty medical stuff like MRI, you know, quench vents and stuff like that. Pretty really cool stuff. So I was exposed to a lot of different stuff. I wasn't just like, and that's one thing about the trades in general is you get a lot of different exposure to a lot of different stuff. You're not, you're not just like, hey, I'm pounding this nail in right here all day long. You're doing different stuff every day. Every project's different. It's never the same, you know? So, that's what I like about the trades a lot is you're not doing the same thing every day. You're not the same location. You might be there for 6 months. You might be there for a year, or you might be there for a day. You know, you don't know,
sure.
But it changes up. You're not going to the same office for 32 years,
exactly.
You know,
right.
And doing the same thing. So that's one of the real pluses to the trades, you know, is that
definitely. Cause it's never dry. It's never a dry thing.
No.
If you were, and you kind of just led to one of your pros, but kind of overall, maybe a top two or three list of what have been the major pros of working in the trades and what have been maybe the biggest things that you're like, ah, hey, if you're going to go into it, just know you're going to deal with
right.
some of the cons, right? Like,
right.
what would those be? And we'll hold off being in a union because we'll get to union next, right? Let's just overall be
yeah.
in the trades, pros and cons.
Okay, so, yeah, the pros and cons, they are, I mean, like I said, working in a different spot, you know, you're working at different places all over the area. Like I said, I never really traveled, but I was all over, you know, this Chicagoland area.
Actually, it's pretty cool that you never had to travel due to
right.
being so close to this city.
Right.
right. But you're still getting exposed to different areas.
Right. I've worked at every corner of just about northern Illinois, you know, from Rockford to the Quad Cities to, you know, Chicago, downtown Chicago, the suburbs. I've worked all over. So, Indiana, you know, right over the border.
I figured, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's always stuff going on anywhere you go, but I mean, you do get a lot of exposure that way. You get to just deal a lot of different stuff. You know, another thing is with the pros is you're learning a trade that you can take with you no matter where you go in the world. I don't care if the reason I live in Chicago, the Chicagoland area, is because this is where the work's at, and I know I can make a good living, and you know, it's well-paying area.
Yeah.
You know, this area is, you know, one of the top pay areas in the country. Second, you know, not second. It's probably in the top five.
And benefits come along with paycheck.
Oh yeah.
Right? You know what
yeah.
I mean? That's a big part of your paycheck.
Yeah. That's so. Learning that trade's a big pro, and then the satisfaction of building something and completing something and going, sitting back and going, wow. Look at what we accomplished, you know, and how
tangible.
Hard it was.
It's tangible, right.
Right. And just because you know the stresses you went through to get it there. And then when you get it done and it looks good and you walk back and you kind of like, you're proud of what you've accomplished, you know.
Something else you mentioned too, I think this is a pro. I'm going to throw one on your list that you went from, I don't know if I like this, to I became an SME on this. And then who doesn't feel good when they master something,
right?
Right, and people come
right.
to you as Tom or Tommy, however
right.
they want to address you
right,
at work,
right.
and say, hey, man, you're the man about this area. We
right.
need your help, right? And that feels good.
And that's kind of respect that I kind of built up over the years. I worked with, you know, I worked with tons and tons of different people, and men and women. I worked with some women, and I've learned something from everyone.
Yeah.
I always put it this way. I took a little bit of something from everyone I worked with along the way
yeah.
and combined it and made it my way, you know.
Yeah.
And I've worked for the littlest mom and pop shops to the biggest, you know, corporate shops, and learned the best ways to do things and the worst ways to do things.
Yeah.
And again, I made my way about myself, and I ended up, you know, once I got further and further along in my career, I got a lot of respect from my peers, and people looked at me for, you know, whenever there was a problem, they would call me, you know,
yeah.
What do you think? Well, this is what I would do. And we would talk things out. And this is, you know, like I said, it just, because these people respected me, and not that they weren't qualified to do it, you know, they were just as qualified as I was, but they had the respect for me to ask my opinion, and that felt good, you know.
Built a good relationship.
And I mean, we had some really, in my eyes, I had some really good guys that I would, you know, that and women that really knew their stuff, and they would ask me what I thought. And I just makes you feel good, like,
definitely.
Hey, I accomplished something in this career.
Absolutely.
So.
Those are some pros, and we got to be honest, because we don't mess around on the plus one. We do, we address things straight on.
Right.
What are some drawbacks? That you look at your career like, hey, working in this, this was toughish, tough to work with.
Yes, yes. There's a lot with the trades. Number one is you have to be, you know, you have to be a self-starter. You have to be disciplined.
Yeah. down.
You know, you have to be determined. You have to be someone that doesn't mind, you know, like you're giving little pieces of your health away for pay.
For sure.
You know, that's unfortunate, but, you know, your knees only last so long, your back only lasts so long, your shoulders. These are all ailments that you develop over 30 years. And, you know, we just went to a pin party, it's called, and there were some there were some 50-year guys that I worked with over the years, and they'd been in the trades for 50 years. They're retired now, but you know, you just think of, okay, they spent a good solid 40 years in the building trades. It takes a toll on your body.
It does, I bet.
You know, and if you have a clean career, it's taken, you know, like a toll on your like I said, your joints and stuff. But the, you know, you could have, you know, the safety issues too, you know, where you, if you've had a fall or you broke a leg or broke a shoulder or you know, dislocated your shoulder or anything, okay, well, now that's amplified further in your life, you know. Yeah. So
the hazard around it, there's a hazard, right?
Correct.
In the career.
Correct. The hazards, you know, is definitely a con. But when I started in the trade, safety wasn't a big thing.
Rub some grass on it, dude.
Yeah, right. And you didn't. I mean, we climbed on, you know, we climbed on some scaffold. You didn't have any safety equipment. You didn't have any fall protection. You didn't have hard hats. You didn't have safety glasses. You just went there and did it, right? You didn't know any better. You're kind of, you know, you're just uneducated, right?
Yeah.
But as the years went, the companies figured out that they can't afford it. You'd be having us getting hurt on the job, so they started training us, and the union started training us, the company started training. So the safety is, from where it was 32 years ago to now, is like night and day. You know, I saw it. You know, I was like, I complain about it. Oh man, I gotta wear this.
These stupid glasses.
Glasses. I'm sweating. You know, but when you realize, when it becomes second nature to you, then you realize, like, oh, now it doesn't even bother me. It's like, hey, I put my hard hat on, my glasses, and my gloves.
Right.
You know, and I would never wear gloves. I would think that, you know, you're from outer space if you wore gloves on the job. But now everyone wears gloves.
Yeah.
And you know. You know, so I'm
it's the
I'm,
opposite now. I'm, where are your gloves at? Right.
I'm removed from the physical part of the work now. But you know, I remember, you know, my wife saying that, she's like, "Man, I can't believe how smooth your hands are now." It's because I wore gloves all the time. Before they're real rough and calloused, but after like a year of wearing gloves, they softened right up. So
yeah. So
I'm sure she didn't mind, you know, if I touched her or something.
Right, for sure. It's funny that you mentioned that because, so quick story, when I was in the Army, we did a lot of physical labor. It's,
oh, yeah.
It cracks me up that when people go, "What'd you do in the Army?" And you tell them, they're like, "Oh, so you were a computer networker." It's like, dude, on a daily, day-to-day basis, I was a janitor. I was a mover. Right? We just did whatever we were told, right? Kind of like being in a trade, I'm sure.
Right.
But we had a lot of equipment that we'd have to move in tight spaces. I'm sure you guys know what that's like. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, you might be putting something through a door and your hand is exposed and you had to wear gloves.
Right.
If somebody asked me to move something and I didn't have my gloves on me, I would say no. And they were like, "Come on, man, you're strong. You can move stuff." I'm like, "You don't get it. If I hurt my finger or my hand, I can't lift tonight."
Right.
And I'm going to be pissed off if I can't go lift tonight. Right.
Right.
So I probably get rode up at back in the day when the safety was not as important, because I'd be like, "No, I'm not moving that. You're going to have to call someone else, man. These hands.
But
they're going to be used later."
But that's important to you, you know, and you know, you don't. Sometimes you don't realize that,
right?
You know, like, you have a discipline for working out, and you know, I'm kind of jealous because I don't have that discipline.
But you have a discipline.
Every time I talk to you, you're I'm getting ready to work out. And I'm like, "Oh man, I'm such a loser." You know?
Not at all. I just have a. Everyone has their thing, right?
Right, right.
Hey, and just like when I have a nail in my tire, and I'm on the phone with you, and I'm huffing and puffing at the gym, and then you go, "Oh, just plug it, man." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's funny, dude. I wish I could do that."
Yeah, right.
That's what a real man would do.
Right. You know, but that's, you know, that's the path you took. You know, like you know, like. That was your life experiences, and here are my life experiences.
Yeah.
You know, I was just kind of, you know, and you had lived in a, not that much, you know, I'm not that much older than you, but
no.
I'm older than you, to where you're in another generation where things were different. You know, like, we didn't pay people to work on our cars. You worked on your car because you couldn't afford to work. You know, like, you know, being a teenager, I couldn't afford to have anybody. I would ask for help, and then I'd learn how to do it, you know, and that's kind of, You know, and you could, I, you know, growing up the same way your dad. I mean, because I know your dad was pretty real handy with cars.
Very handy, yeah.
And that's because he had no choice but to learn it, you know. So,
it feels like you're, like my dad's generation with your generation. Yeah. It was like, your dad took you outside and said, this is how you do an oil change.
Right.
And don't ever ask me again.
Right.
Now you know.
Right.
And that was it. You got the one time.
Right.
Right. But like you said, you couldn't afford that. We're in a generation where it's the opposite. Right. Like nobody
it's
wants
our fault.
To do it.
I mean, as a parent.
Yeah.
Like here I'm, you know, your dad and I are close in age. And, you know, we failed because we didn't pass on the knowledge like we should have. Even my kids. I mean, they were required to do some stuff, but nothing like I was required
for
to
sure.
do, you know.
So, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
You know, not to get off track, but I'm
don't worry about it. Go
quick,
ahead.
A quick story.
We love stories in the
about,
plus
oh,
one.
You mentioned oil changes.
Let's
you know?
Hear it.
So here I am, like my dad had bought a Mustang, and he was going to fix it up, and he was going to give it to his niece. And it was a 4-cylinder Mustang, like 77, kind of real ugly Mustang, but it had a 4-cylinder in it. And he fixed painted it. And he goes, "Hey, I want you to change the oil." And I'm like 13 years old, maybe 14. He's like, "I want you to change the oil." And I said, "Okay, you know." So I'm confident I could do this, no problem. Get it all ready to go, and I put 4 quarts of oil in the engine, and you know, I'm like, "All right, it's all good," and you know, oil filters on, and I look at the floor, and there's about a 10-foot round puddle of oil.
Oh my god!
You know, and it was all I never put the drain plug back in, right? my dad's. The concrete floor was like brand new. He was, let me tell you, he was pissed. But hey, I learned a lesson.
You learned a lesson though. Like you never made that mistake again, right?
No. So I always tell that story because, you know, I was 14 years old. I'm 51 now, and I remember it like yesterday.
Yeah, for sure.
And my dad's friends there kind of chuckling, laughing, like you know. But he like he's, you know he knew that I learned, you know.
Yeah,
so.
You got to learn. You have to. I want to transition over to union experience.
Yes.
And a big reason I wanted you to come on the podcast, we connected, is there are a lot of, I'm not going to call them misconceptions. There's just some people have no experience with the unions.
Right.
They hear a few things. It's literally like anything else.
Right.
Someone will say, "Oh, I heard this and this," and then they put their own ideas together.
Right.
You have worked in a union
for quite
a while. Tell me, what has your experience been like working in a union throughout the years?
So, again, I've been a union sheet metal worker for 32 years. The greatest thing that I could have done with my life is to join that union. And I'm not saying that lightly, because here I've got 32 years in. Without the union, I wouldn't have learned the skill that I've learned as good as I have. I wouldn't have made the money that I made. I wouldn't have gotten the benefits that I've gotten. And when I say benefits, it's, you know, it's security. You know, I have security. I raised 4 kids. My kids had health insurance. My kids had, they had food on the table, a roof over their head. I was never rich. There's no doubt about it. But I was a good provider because of the union. And when my kids got sick or Marnie needed something, my wife needed something done, she, you know, we didn't have to worry about like, oh no. We can't
afford that.
We can't afford it because, you know, our deductible's too high or anything. Because the union insurance is just, it's great. It's not as good as it was 30 years ago or 20. Let me just kind of tell you a quick story.
Go for it.
I'm 24 years old. We had bought a house. We'd been living in this house for a couple years. I bought it, I think, when I was 22. It was like a bi-level house in West Chicago. And I'm building out the basement. I'm by myself. It's me and the dog. Marnie's at work. I'm in the basement, and I'm gonna fur out. Actually, at the job that day, I asked my coworker. I said, and I'm just a kid, you know. I'm 24 years old. I said, "Hey, do you have any tap cons? I want to fur the basement walls out." It was because it was just like a half wall, like 4 foot. I just want to fur them out with 2x2s, and then I'm gonna drywall it. And he goes, "Oh, I'll just use concrete nails." And I'm like, "Yeah, okay." At first, I said. "No, them don't work." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, they do." I'm like, "All right." So this is going to show my age. I stopped at Handy Andy on the way home. And I go to Handy Andy. I buy a fluted concrete nails.
Yeah.
I never used them. I've seen them, but I never really even. I go down there. You know, I go in my basement. I start doing stuff. And I try one out. It goes in and holds the 2x2. I'm like, okay, great. You know, somebody, let me try one more. And I kind of like leaned over like this, and I was hitting it. I got about a quarter inch from sinking, and that last hit, the head, you know, like cracked off or ricocheted off and hit me square in the eye.
Ah, shit.
Now, and I cut my eye right down the center of my cornea. And, you know, I no one's home, me and the dog. My dog's a puppy at the time. I put my hand over my eye. I'm like, oh my God, like, you know, like, what happened, you know? And then I kind of forced my eye open. I saw nothing but like black. I go, this isn't good. So I get my truck. I live right down the road from a hospital. I go to Central DuPage Hospital. I walk in with my hand over the eye. They take me right back. Because by this time, now the pain had set in, and I was like in just agonizing pain. So probably all white too, because I walked in like this with my hand over my eye, and they took me into the back and they started giving me pain medication. Anyways, I went through all kinds of, you know, eye surgery that night. I went through another surgery to remove a cataract that formed and a lens replacement. And looking back at, you know, we talk about insurance, you know, back then our deductible was $100. So that's all I paid was $100 to take care of all that eye stuff, the two surgeries, the emergency care. I spent multiple days in the hospital. I paid $100.
And think about this. I'm going to guess you got paid time off, or like you were paid, right? Like,
well,
did you miss work, or how'd that go?
We did miss work. And that's one thing about the unions. You don't, trade unions, or excuse me, the trades in general, it's especially back then, there was no PTO, no PTO at all. So, but I didn't really, you know, I was 24.
At that time, $100 in the pocket, right?
Like, right. I you know, I had no kids. It was just my wife and I, and we were young. So, but still, just for the fact that insurance covered everything.
Right.
And, you know, now granted, compared to where it is now, it's not quite as good, but it's still great. You know what I'm saying? I've seen the differences because I've lived them.
You lived through them, right?
So, but yeah, it was a, you know, to when you talk union, it's hard not to think about the top. You're getting what prevailing wages.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, so when you do like a state funded job, they say, okay, you're required to pay the prevailing wage. Well, what's the prevailing wage? Well, the prevailing wage is the wage set by the unions in the area. So whatever our scale is, that's what has to be paid on that job. And now that paid, it's not just a wage that goes in your pocket. It's also all the benefits.
For sure.
You know, so we set the prevailing wage. So you're always getting a top tier wage.
You never have to worry about that, right?
Correct.
Like, you're at the prevailing wage.
Right. That's our minimum wage is the prevailing wage. So let's just say right now our wage right now, our take home wage is $54.25 an hour.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's our minimum wage. You can get paid $150 an hour. I'm not saying you're gonna, but
right.
You know, that's our minimum wage. You're not gonna get paid any less than that.
Feels good for variance. You never have to worry about, like,
correct,
it's never gonna be below that.
Correct.
I can live off of that.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. And not only above and beyond that is the benefits after that, because, you know, our total package is $93.04 an hour, but we only see $54.25 of it. But we had, you know, two different retirements. Well, excuse me, pensions. We have an annuity, which is like a 401k, health insurance. We pay into our own training. We pay into a LMCC, which is like a co-op between our contractors and us to produce more work with rebate programs and stuff like that. And we also pay in this a fund called SASME. SASME is like, it's a sheet metal workers fund, but it's like an underemployment insurance policy. So like, say I was off of my eye for, you know, whatever, say I was off for 6 weeks, I think. Now I didn't get paid, but SASME would actually pay for my health insurance, because now I didn't work any hours, but I have this insurance policy where I built up, and SASME will actually take care of some of my, so I get the COBRA payments paid by SASME.
Wow.
So I don't run out of health insurance.
That's cool.
So, right. That, I mean, again, here's a security blanket you don't even realize you have. And you don't know what, you don't know you need it until you need it, you know?
Until you need it, exactly. Because nobody stops to read every page on their
right.
insurance.
Right?
It's
right.
Like, yeah, cool, where do I got to work? Thanks,
right.
See you. Until the problems come up. So that's a really great, like, everything about your experience.
Right.
We hear some things out there, and I actually don't, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but are there any misconceptions you've heard?
Oh, yeah, there's a ton.
Give a few of them, and then talk, like, maybe the bigger ones, and then kind of, if you want to debunk them, or say, hey, this is what I've heard, and it's just not true. From people that we just know. Unfortunately, the world is full of a lot of people that aren't educated on things.
Correct.
You have to have
an
opinion.
And social media doesn't help.
It doesn't help, man.
You know, the biggest misconception is that we're lazy.
Right.
And we don't do work, and we don't work, you know. When the fact is, like I told you, our contracted rate is $93.04 an hour. It's over $1.50 a minute. So how long do you think you're going to work if you don't produce? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's just not possible. Yeah. You don't produce... and you're not making that contractor money, they're not going to keep you because they can't.
You have to. It's a results driven based off the wage.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's unfortunate, but that's part of being in the trade, especially the union trade.
Right.
You know, and in order to earn that kind of, because it's serious money. There's no doubt about it. When I tell people we're basically $100 an hour, you know, we're by our next contract we'll be even closer.
Yeah.
People are like, oh my God, you guys are overpaid. But, you know, it's like, no, we're keeping up with inflation. This is where everyone should be. Yeah. Like, if you made $20 an hour back in, you know, 1985, right, you know, you should be making $60 an hour now, you know, just with inflation. We've been fortunate enough to keep up with inflation as the years go on because we negotiate our contracts and we get a raise every year. You know, not everyone gets what we get, you know.
Right.
So... But the biggest misconception, like I said, yeah, we're lazy.
They're overpaid. And they're lazy.
We're overpaid. We don't do nothing. And when the fact is, that couldn't be any further from the truth. Because in order to earn that kind of money, you have to be very, you know, very efficient, well trained, and you got to be ready to work hard. You know, it's not a joke. And I tell these kids. So my role right now is I'm an organizer for Local 265. So, you know, that's my spiel. I tell them. I said, this is serious business, you know. So if you're not taking it serious, don't even try, you know.
Well, let me ask you this. So you guys do a job for someone, right? It doesn't, you don't give them the results they want because they're like, hey, we're paying $93 an hour, but we're not getting the results we want.
Right.
When that job's over, what you're really stressing is that they just, you won't get used again, right? You the next time that whoever that is, whether it's a hospital or whoever,
right,
they're not going to come back to your union,
right?
Or your company.
Company,
right? Because it's a company.
Right.
But the union is...
like a labor, you know, we're almost like a labor provider, you know?
Right.
So the company needs men. They can go to the union and say, hey, I need two guys. I need four guys. The union will have people that they can send there. Typically... you don't really, like, I never really worked out of the hall because I had a reputation. Usually if I was at a company, I felt like things weren't going good or was slowing down, I'd make a phone call someone I know over at another company. They're hiring. Yeah, let me ask the boss, you know. Yeah, they're hiring. Come on over, you know. So I always stayed busy because I had a good reputation. And people would put their name on the line for me.
Yeah.
But I earned that, you know. It's like, so you have to think about stuff. You can't be that guy that doesn't give a crap about anybody else because that might come back to haunt you.
When things slow down over here and you want to work over there, they're like, hey, buddy, I've seen you. You don't even put your hard hat on.
Right.
Because you're chilling in the bathroom.
Right.
Taking a nap.
Right. Right. Exactly. Where you been for the last hour, right?
Yep.
And there's guys like that. And you know, they get weeded out.
But there's
out.
Guys like that in every industry.
That's right.
And
they
can
get weeded out.
They get weeded out. Dude.
Right.
Yep.
You know, and then there's another misconception. Union stealing your money, you know.
Yeah.
That's another one I like. When the fact is, it's an organization. Organizations need money to operate, right? I mean, we have people out there fighting, you know. Like right now, we're going through contract negotiations. And we have four guys from our union, upper guys, that are on a negotiating team that are negotiating our new contract with our contractors.
Yeah.
That I don't even have to worry about. I know I'm going to get the best deal possible because they're working on it. So that's part of my union dues is that, you know, like they're working on the contract. They're going to work on getting me the best deal they can, you know, getting us the best raise we can, considering the economy and everything else.
For sure.
You know.
Is it transparent? Do they come back to you guys and say, hey, this is where we're at in the deal. This is what we're going for.
Yes.
Like, how much information do you guys know?
Yeah.
Negotiations are going
on? They have to keep it, when it comes to negotiating, they can't tell you too much because it's negotiating in bad faith. And it could.
They don't want to give you guys like this great idea of what you're going to get, and they come back and they're like,
right. And when it comes to unions and stuff, you also have to deal with the Department of Labor. So you have to. You can't. There's a lot of rules that you have to follow.
Yeah.
And you can't really talk too much about what's going on with negotiations, other than here's a couple key points that are going on that we're far apart on money. They want certain things from us, and they might tell you what them are. And that's about as far as they can go. But they could tell you basically how they're going. Like right now, for instance, we're going, it's May 18th, I believe. Our contract ends May 31st. They've been negotiating. They've had, I think, six sessions, and they're not going good. The contractors are playing hardball. And you know, so the negotiating team on our end, you know, they have their hands full, you know.
And who has the leverage there? If it hits hits June 1st, there's no new re-up, what happens to you guys?
We go on strike.
You're on strike, okay.
So we go on strike every so how it happens is we go to the jobs that we're on. Say you're a member working on a hospital building. You go there, you're on strike. You hold a picket sign, you walk on sidewalk, and what happens is most other union members, I don't cross picket lines, and they, you know, so they just don't go to work. So now the job's shut down.
Yeah.
Okay, so the leverage starts leaning our way.
Yeah, because they need these jobs done.
Yes, yeah, and the contractors, not only the contractors that we're negotiating with, but all the contractors, the general contractors, everyone's like, hey, get this stuff figured out, because, and we're not looking for, we're not, you know, and I don't know exactly what the numbers are, but I know we're not going there and saying, we want, you know,
25%.
25% every year for the next 5 years, you know. Yeah. We're going in there with a modest amount, you know, but they're just being a lot less than we think we're owed. So, you know, we'll meet somewhere in the middle eventually. But, you know, we got June 1st rolling around. We call it the Summer Slam. School works from the beginning of June to, you know, middle of August.
Yeah.
And you have to get it done.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have... There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
And I'm going to guess, right, not knowing much about any of this, schools are probably, in this area, those are big projects.
Right? Oh, yeah. The tight timeline, they have to get them done. So these contractors, they don't have time. One day is going to kill them, you know. So, sure. You know, but, you know, so back to the, you know, misconceptions, you know, like they're stealing your money and, you know. And, you know, but like I said, people—they're fighting for my fair pay, good wages, a great apprenticeship program. You know, we get continuing education classes, whatever we want, no cost to us. You know, then they manage our benefits. Not only do they manage our, you know, our healthcare is all in house, so our healthcare is all managed in house. That costs money. You know, our pensions all managed. We don't manage it. You know, a third party does, right. But. We have a, you know, we're responsible for it. Our union is, you know, so there's multiple things working there that cost money to operate. You got to have secretaries, you have to have clerical, you have to have, you know, we have a rebate program and that takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's called I Want Smart. I Want Smart is like something that, and it's all Northern Illinois. From the whole Northern Illinois can use it, pretty much anywhere in the country, but. All Northern Illinois for sure uses it. And if you use a union contractor, which, by the way, is usually, say you're getting your furnace and air changed out, they're just as competitive as a non-union contractor, but you're getting a really well-trained workforce doing it.
Right.
And then you can get up to, you know, if it's a furnace and air, you can get $400 in rebates sent directly to you, the homeowner.
That's awesome.
So
that's awesome.
It's a great rebate program. But, you know, we also call it like, They when they start with the union dues stuff, oh, you guys pay union dues. I'm not paying anybody to work. Well, let's talk about non-union dues. What you're not getting to work, you know, like you're coming up like $20, $30 an hour short, maybe even more, maybe $50 an hour short when you add our whole benefit package.
Right.
And, you know, you're actually paying, way bigger dues than I am. You know, I'm paying 2.25%, which is a dollar something an hour, you know.
Yeah.
I'll pay that every day of the week to have this representation and all these great benefits, you know.
For sure. Yeah.
So,
just CPE alone seems like it would cover some of what they're talking about, right? So, But now I wanted to kind of get into, I want to touch on one more thing with Union.
Sure.
How do you start working in the trades, you become an apprentice. So you have to get into the Union. How do you get into a Union?
Okay, so that's a great question.
How the hell do you do that?
You know, back in the day, it was a little bit more of the good old boys club. You know, they, you had to know somebody, and, you know, that's how I got in. I'll be honest with you. My dad was a Union sheet metal worker. He was a superintendent for a company. He got me in. I mean, he basically...
Nepotism.
Yeah, very much so, you know. Hey, he made a phone call. I got in, right? Yep. And
he said, hey, don't have him do an oil change, but yeah. Other than that, this guy's good.
Right. So, you know, but nowadays, here's what we're staring at. For what I see in the next 10 years, the amount of people that are going to be retiring from all the trades, there's a majority of people that are probably in their late 40s now, right? So 10 more years, they're going to be pushing 60. That's about the retirement age for everyone in the trade. Right. Because after 40 years, like I said, your body's wore out. Yeah. So, and no one wants you. So at 60 years old, that's our retirement age. So in the next 10 years, we're going to have a mass exodus of workforce. Yeah. You know, so we need to...
infiltrate with the young people.
Correct. And we need to get them trained. And we need to... because as these people retire, the talent... is getting pulled out of the trade too, and there's no one there to train the knowledge, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, so we're fighting that right now. We're trying to get younger people, and we're actually, so it's like I said, I'm an organizer with Local 265. I do a lot of like career fairs, apprenticeship expos. I go out there to the high schools and stuff, and I try to tell these kids about the union trades, how to go about getting in. But nowadays, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're looking for any trade in particular, and you're interested in, say, hey, I don't know what I want to do with my life, but I think I want to try to get in a trade, I would suggest to find a union in your area, and you know, find out what you're interested in. Maybe it's carpentry, maybe it's electrical, maybe it's a pipe fitter, plumber, but maybe it's sheet metal.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't know where to look, you can go to what's called NAB2.org, and that stands for North American Building Trade Unions, and that'll take you to pretty much anybody's website.
All the unions. So you're like, hey, I live in Belvedere. I'm up in Northern Illinois. Here are the unions in my area.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. It'll get you to where you want to go. It's a good guide to get you going in the right location. But if, say, you're interested, you live in Northern Illinois, and you're interested in doing HVAC or sheet metal in general, look us up. You know, we're smart265.org. Or if you live outside our area, you can go to smart-union.org, and that'll direct you to different things where you can figure out, you know, what we're all about.
If someone was listening right now and they're like, damn, I want to talk to Tommy, pick his brain more about sheet metal or anything like that to get involved, how would they reach you best?
I say, if you want to, the best way, probably email me.
Yeah.
And we'll make a connection that way, and I can...
I don't have your email. What is your email? I Facebook message you.
Yeah. So my email is tsiron, which is SYRON, @smart265.org. So if you're interested, even if you're interested in another trade,
yeah,
you know, and you're like, I don't know where to start, well, I could send you some links.
For sure.
I'm very passionate about the union. Like I said, the union's been very good to me. And, you know, like I said, a lot of misconceptions out there. And you really can't beat what you get out of it. You can't beat the benefits. You can't beat the training. You can't beat the pay. People will tell you, like, why make what you guys make? Well, you might make it, okay, you might make equal what we make on the check, but you don't get the benefits.
Two pensions. Right. Having two pensions.
Right.
An annuity.
The security.
And the security. And that you have people, that reps that are fighting for you.
Yes.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. Now, and another thing, and this probably steps away from being in a union, but having the trade, I think doing the trades overall.
Right.
You're dating someone I work from home, right? But let's say I didn't.
Right.
And Katie is at a hospital. And she's like, hey, I really want to move to a different location. You have a trade.
Right.
Right? Like, you can call up the local area, right? I'd imagine.
And you can, we can transfer anywhere we want to go. And right now, if you're interested in the trades in general and you don't mind traveling, there's opportunities all over the country because there's huge projects going right now. They're building chip manufacturing facilities all over the country,
right.
Battery factories, EV facilities. There's huge projects, mega projects, we call them, going all over Arizona, Ohio, Indiana. I can go on and on.
I mean, if you were 22 again, 24 again, and you weren't married, let's just say, right,
yeah.
You're a young bachelor, and you're like, wait a minute, I can go to Tampa and build a whatever, right? Battery factory or
I'll just say they have chip facilities going in Arizona. The wages are about, don't quote me on this, but they're in the mid 40s, say, per hour.
Yeah.
Okay. A little less than us, but you're going to go there. You're going to work. You're probably going to get some sort of per diem.
They're going to put you up.
And then there's going to be a lot of overtime.
So when you
work union, your overtime is after 8. It's not after 40 hours. You make overtime after 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
And depending on the union, our contract is, we make double time on Sunday, holidays, after 8 on Saturday. So instead of $54, we're $108 an hour.
So after 8 on a normal Monday, is that double time or is that time and a half?
Time and a half.
Time and a half. I mean,
yeah.
If you're on a job, you're for a 3 or 6 month job or whatever, and you're in Arizona.
Right. You're working.
It's like, what else are you going to do?
Right. You're working 6 or 7 12s. It's a lot of money. It ain't hard to make $5,000, $6,000 a week.
You work your ass off.
Right.
You show that you're worth it. You go somewhere else. Guess what? Now you build those contacts.
Right.
And if you ever need work.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah. So that's kind of, and that's where the term journeyman comes from,
Right.
Now they're calling it journey person because we are getting a lot more women in the trade, and
okay.
That's important to us because we need people. We don't care,
yeah.
Where they're coming from. We don't care if they're women. We don't care if they're another religion. We don't care if they're their sexual orientation. We want people that want to work. So,
yeah. So Harrison Bucker, you need to calm down because we're looking for people in the
trade.
Right.
Right. We want any of the women that want to get involved. Talk to us. We'll get you in.
Question here for you, too. And I know they have good training in the unions. This kind of came up when you were talking about, hey, if you're interested in sheet metal or electrical, do they have any type of program or training where, like, Adam Hawkins is like, you know what, man, I've always wanted to get in the trades. Don't know which one. Can I do, like, a rotation? Can I do 6 weeks here, 6 weeks there to see what I like? Do they do anything like that?
We offer all kinds of different, like, minimal stuff, nothing like that, but like apprentice for the day, and you'll learn like what kind of stuff we do, all different aspects of the trade, because there's a lot more than just HVAC to our trade.
Yeah.
There's fabrication, there's, like I said, welding, and there's test and air balance, there's service. You want to be an HVAC service technician, you could do that.
Definitely.
So that'd be a little hard. I can't per se say anything, there's anything like that, but there's definitely, there's ways to figure it out,
Definitely.
I'd say it's more or less, you kind of get a feel for what you kind of are interested in,
definitely.
And sometimes you just don't even know what's out there,
As you're an apprentice, you can do that too, right?
Yeah.
As you're an apprentice,
yeah.
That's kind of your opportunity.
Yeah.
If you're like, hey man, I'm just not liking sheet metal, can I try something else?
Right.
You're showing good work qualities.
Correct.
Right?
I had a buddy that started an apprenticeship, he's in his late 40s now, but he started the sheet metal apprenticeship and just found out it wasn't for him, and he moved on, and he's doing fine for himself, but he's still in another trade, but it just wasn't for him. He was working inside of the shop, he didn't care for it, and that's going to happen. We're gonna get people that are interested, and then they're gonna find out that this isn't for me, or they just can't handle it.
Yeah, that's
a big
part.
Because like I said, there's a lot of in any trade. You have to, like I said, the money we make, you have to be on time, you have to stay off your phone,
yeah.
You have to be ready to work and be the guy. I always said, be that person that foreman can count on, and they will try to keep you as long as they can.
Exactly.
Because they know you're that go-to person.
Yeah.
They know whatever job they're going to give you, you're going to take care of it. You're going to do whatever you need to do because, that's just the way you are or whatever. So you have to be that person.
Yeah.
And that's the best attribute to have, is to be the go-to guy or go-to girl to stay busy.
And even in the beginning, it might not be for wisdom, but it's this guy, I know he's going to give me his best effort.
Right.
Like that. And that's what you count on early on. You hope it translates to wisdom. Have you ever, this is a side question, Have you ever seen the show Suits? Are you a fan of the show Suits?
I think I'm in season...
Let's go!
Almost season 8.
I don't know if I've referenced this in the pod, but one of my favorite scenes in Suits is Mike's early on and Harvey's hard on him, like you would be in a trade, right? Like, you gotta learn your stuff. But they're making Mike plan the stupid rookie dinner or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And he thinks it's the dumbest thing.
Right.
And how he also showed up like 10 minutes late to work. Well, Harvey walks up to him and he goes, hey, where were you? You're supposed to be here, you know, on time.
Right.
Something that's bigger than trades. And he's like, he says to Harvey, you show up late all the time. And Harvey just lays into him. He's like, the reason I can show up late is because when I first got here, I worked so hard that people thought I worked 100 hours a day. Now nobody questions my ability to get the job done.
Right.
First impressions last.
Right.
If you start behind the eight ball, you'll never get ahead of it. Right. Yeah. And it's so true, especially in the trades.
It is.
You show up day one, and the first time they catch you, you're on your phone when I ask you to get something done.
Right.
That should have taken 10 minutes, but it's taking you an hour.
Right.
You didn't ask questions, right? Right. Like, what the hell are you doing?
Right.
And that's not for everyone.
And you have to. So, yeah. And that's part of your apprenticeship or just in the trades in general. When you're starting out, you're going to be the grunt. You know, you're going to be that. And you don't get the luxuries of the people that have been there, done that, you know? Yeah. So you have to be, like I said, nothing will get you laid off faster than being late.
Yeah.
People just don't stand for it in the trades because I said, you know, especially in the unions, like I said, you're over $1.50 a minute, you know.
The clock starts.
Right.
Tick tock,
you know, sure. you better be ready to go when the bell rings. Yeah. And, you know, so, like when I said, when I'm out there talking to these kids, I'm just telling them, like I said, it's serious business. You might not think it's serious, but it is serious business.
Yeah.
It's a career. It's not just a job. And, you know, like I said, once you learn a trade, you learn it. You can do it anywhere, you know.
At your house.
They might do it different in Florida or different in Washington State slightly, but it's all the same.
You're at the foundation, though. You can add little quirks to it.
I mean,
for sure.
And it doesn't, like I said... They, you know, it doesn't matter if it's electrical, HVAC, or if it's plumbing or whatever. It might be slightly different parts of the country, or even Canada, or even all over the world.
Right.
But it all relates to the same principles, right? That
Definitely.
You know.
So we've talked a lot about your career, union experience, and then getting into the trades. So if someone wants to get into trades, you've laid it out for them. You ready for rapid fire?
I think so.
Okay. And here we go. Favorite holiday?
4th of July.
Okay, all right. Who's funnier, you or your wife?
Me.
To win a game late, you got 2 minutes left, you're down 4. Brady or Mahomes?
Ooh. I'd have to go Mahomes.
All right. Best dinner meal that your wife makes?
Best dinner meal. Probably chicken parmesan.
All right. Favorite TV show all time? Can only get one.
Oh, man, this is tough. I'm going to say Boardwalk Empire.
Okay. Now, here's a scenario for you. This is going to be a good one. This season, the Bears get to the playoffs and win a playoff game, or... they miss the playoffs, but they beat the Packers twice. What would you rather have?
I would take beat the Packers twice.
All right. That's a true Bear fan right there. We're going to get personal. Boxers or briefs? What are we rocking?
What the hell are they? They're not either or. I don't think they're more like boxers, but they're like whatever they sell. They got a name to them. Buck naked.
All right. Real personal here. Okay. This is one you might have to think about. Name a 4-letter word that starts with an S. Maybe I'm walking you into a corner.
Tough. Same? I don't know.
There we go. You got one. I was hoping it was going to be the S-H-I, you know what?
Oh, yeah. I can't see anything. Didn't think of it?
I thought I might walk in on that. Okay, on a normal night, work night, bedtime?
10 o'clock.
Okay. One subject, if you could take time and learn more about it, what would it be?
History.
Cool. Any specific time in history?
No, I mean, probably, I would say about the Roman Empire, right? Cool. I mean,
weird. The guys are really. I mean, there was a thing about how us men are really into the Roman Empire. So you're just confirming what I agree with. You could transform into any animal for a day. What are you choosing?
I'd say a lion.
All right. The vacation that you need to take your wife on next is where?
Europe.
Okay. Last one. You could hang with one person for an entire day tomorrow. Who are you hanging with for the entire day? Someone that you've never met before. Let me explain. Okay. Yeah, there you go. Someone you've never met before.
It's a tough one.
I love it. That's why I saved it for the last one. What do you got?
I'm drawing a blank. I hope I say his name right. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Smart dude.
That guy is super interesting, and I would love to hear what he has to say.
Great work on this. Neil deGrasse Tyson, I always, because I listen to Joe Rogan's podcast, mm-hmm. when he's on, I just love listening to him talk.
Yeah.
He's so smart. His voice is good.
Yeah, and the way he explains it, he really brings stuff down to a... Obviously, I'm not an astrophysicist, so he brings it down to our level, and so I do find that guy really interesting.
Yeah, you can actually retain what he's talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
So before I let you go, we always do, it's kind of a tradition here on the Plus One. It is a tradition. It's not kind of. It is. There's a closing question. So it's the last question. You have no idea what it is. You knew we were going to talk about being a union worker and all that
right,
jazz.
Right, right.
I'm also happy that you answered the Packers one because I would want to beat those guys twice too. But before I do, and I want to say thanks for coming on the show, taking time. You reached out. It always means a lot to get someone on, especially family. But I want to thank you for a few years ago when I graduated college, you commented on my post. And obviously, over the years, I see you every once in a while.
Yeah,
I don't
right.
see you all the time.
Well, it's our long-distance relationship. Yeah.
And we're not directly, right. your family does your stuff for your right. for holidays. But you commented and you said something along the lines of, you were, really proud of you. But you said, hey, kids, look at this. This is hard work right here. Or something along the lines, to your own kids. And I just thought that was really cool. It meant a lot at the time because that wasn't an easy thing to do.
I was very impressed with what you accomplished, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I thought... going into the military like you did, coming out, going into college, accomplishing that, and graduating, that's a huge deal. Talk about two huge accomplishments. Not only the military, now I didn't go. I sometimes regret it because I think everyone kind of should go because it teaches you so much in life, life lessons. And then you killed it there and then you killed it in college. And it's hard not to be proud.
Yeah.
Your mother and I, we're very tight growing up. We were like brothers and sisters,
Right.
So, even though you guys moved far away and we didn't see as much, I you're an extension of her, and I really, she was one of my favorite cousins, So, it's just natural to want to see you do good,
Yeah. Oh, it meant a lot, man. It's still mental. It still means a lot, but that...
Good.
Just like you can remember stories, you can always remember really, Rocky has a great line. He's like, you can always remember the worst insults of all time, but you also remember the greatest compliments.
Right,
those
right,
stick
right.
with you, right? Closing question. We've talked a lot about, hey, Tommy, you worked at sheet metal 32 years in the union. And as I got getting to know you more throughout the interview, if you went back, closing question, this is it. If you went back and did it over again, but you didn't do anything with the trades, what do you wish you would have done? If you could have done something else, what would it be? Now, looking back now, if you're like, hey, if I didn't do this, man, you know what? I would have given that a try. What would it have been?
I think... I would say my biggest regrets are... that not taking risk on certain things and not so much a career, I would say. Because I think... if I would have took the risk younger in life, I think I would have traveled more in life.
Yeah.
Now, if I would have went to Europe when I was 18 years old, my life could have took a whole different trajectory. I don't know, but I don't really have any besides things I wish I would have done different. I can't say that I really had a different career in mind or something. But I definitely, if I could go back in time, I would have traveled the world more, than I ever, than I, I'm still waiting to do it, but I would have traveled more, got to learn more about culture and, you know, just more about, because you're growing up in a little bubble here, you know.
For sure.
You know, suburban Chicago, Illinois, and you don't know what it's like in, you know, Ireland or Italy, from where some of my ancestors are from. And, you know, if I would have learned that, opened my mind up more, you know, who knows what way I would have went, you know, for sure, or what path I would have took.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
No problem.
It was great.
Thanks for having me.
I think this is really helpful for people, definitely people that are looking to get in the trades that just don't know. This will be a great resource. Hopefully when you go to schools and stuff, you could be like, hey, reference this podcast.
Yeah, right.
It's a really good listen.
I'm gonna,
you know? That would be great. And again, another thing, man, growing up, you know about my situation. Like, I always admired the dads that were hardworking, fun, got their shit done, was there for the family. You were like that. You're definitely like that. My Uncle Jeff, like, I always looked at my Uncle Dominic, Uncle Eddie, like, just, I was fortunate to, like, see really good dudes at a young age, right? So I just want to say thanks for all that, too.
No problem.
Along with that compliment. That was awesome.
I appreciate that.
Respect the hell out of you. So
I just, and you'll learn as you build a family and stuff that, you know, how important it is for you to be a provider.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, maybe you both work, but maybe she's not working for a little bit because she's raising the kids, you know, and you just have to make sure that you're that guy that takes care of his family, because that's important.
And that is a discipline.
Yeah, it is a discipline.
That's a part of being disciplined.
Right. That was my discipline, right?
Well, you're disciplined too, but you're waking up at 4 a.m. to get to a freaking to a job, you know?
Yeah.
Not messing around.
Yeah. Plenty of jobs where I was waking up driving, you know, 1 hour and 20 minutes. I've worked out in Rockford, you know, from here, it's 1 hour and 45 minutes.
Listening to the score. God damn, the Bears lost again. Damn
it. Right. All miserable. All the way out there.
Thank you so much, brother. Appreciate you.